Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, Pentagon strategist, author, and political commentator. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, please give a warm welcome to Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome everyone to our show today. We have Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis with us today, senior strategist at the Pentagon. He spent a year on the Korean DMZ and traveled throughout North and South Asia, including Hong Kong. Colonel McGinnis has almost 30 years of national media experience as a columnist at Fox News, military analysis, and as on-air commentator for multiple radio networks. He's the author of 8 books, his latest being Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Here's the cover. Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism. Amen. We are headed to a hellish country if we don't stand up for America and get our nation turned back around.
Amen.
It's sliding fast down a slippery slope towards the most hellish thing that could ever happen. Something's gone wrong in America, and we're going to talk to Colonel about it today. Find out what he has to say on where we're headed and how we can stop it.
Yes.
Very sobering.
Recently, the Epcot Times interviewed Kyle Bass, who is the founder of a capital management company, about the Chinese presence in Texas. We have a clip from the interview. Let me roll this, and then we'll watch it. Then I want you to comment on it.
So you've got a former People's Liberation Army general billionaire who has bought over 130,000 acres of Texas land, including a giant wind farm, in an area where there isn't particularly a lot of wind, that happens to be right beside a very sensitive military, U.S. military installation.
This is happening inside the United States, and there, and this general is actually interfacing directly with the critical infrastructure of the United States, i.e., my view, and this is my view only, not our country's view yet, but my view is that the reason that he bought the wind farm and wants to put up 700-foot turbines is he plugs directly into our electric grid. Well, plugging directly into our electric grid is something that should never happen. Whether you're from a Chinese general or a North Korean general or an Iranian general or a Russian general, you should be precluded from buying property next to our busiest Air Force training base and plugging directly into our grid. So I was flying to that area of Texas, and the person that picked me up at the landing strip was taking me to look at some properties out there. And he casually pointed across the front of the cab and pointed at the gate and said, that's where the Chinese headquarters in Texas happens to be. And I said, excuse me? And I thought he was kidding, of course. And he said, no, you know, that's where they're building their main facility and the runway for their big wind farm project down here. And I said, stop the car. There's a strategic reason this general has acquired all of this land. And he did it, again, in an insidious way. He got a local businessman out of Lufkin, Texas, to front for him and purchase all the properties. So none of the landowners knew they were selling to a Chinese general. And then in all one fell swoop, he flipped it to the general. 130,000 acres, to put that into context, is 200 square miles. Right? Just think about that for a second. 200 square miles of property. We have a Chinese general who owns 2/3 of the real estate in the capital of Xinjiang, where the concentration camps are for the ethnic Uyghurs. And he now owns 200 square miles of Texas land between one of our most active Air Force bases and the border of the U.S. and Mexico.
Shocking. Colonel, is this happening in other situations?
I'm not surprised, not the least. If you understand that President Xi Jinping has made 2049 the goal of world domination by Communist China, you know, Mike Pompeo, of course, was the former Secretary of State, called it the central threat of our times. That is Chinese communist threat. They own a lot of media. They own a lot of Hollywood. They own a lot of real estate in the United States, not the least of which are 200 square miles in Texas. They control through their belt Belt and Road Network in 150 nations around the world. They want to control as much energy resources, as much of the mineral resources of the world they possibly can. There have been others, to include myself, that have written that we are in fact in a new Cold War with China, and that we're fighting that war in ways that are unlike the war that we fought against the Soviets. You know, we're fighting it economically. We're fighting it through cyber warfare. We're fighting it through military prowess, in which the Chinese now have the largest navy, the largest ground forces, and they're expanding globally. And then, of course, we're fighting it ideologically. And that is a shortfall of the Chinese, because what they're concerned ideologically is they don't like our human rights. They don't like our freedom of speech. If our human rights were to be imposed and embraced by the Chinese people, in fact, that Communist Party in Beijing would crumble, because they couldn't put up with that. That would not be able to coexist with the communist totalitarian approach to how they do things. And so it's important to appreciate that the communist Chinese are part and parcel of the co-conspirators in the war against the United States today.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
How is Marxism being used to encourage a global one world government? And is the Chinese Communist Party involved?
No doubt. Of course, Marxism being the ideology that is, you know, got its nose under the like the camel's nose under the tent in the United States through socialism. And, you know, frankly, socialism and communism are very much the same thing. There's a quote that I use by a Russian-American writer and philosopher by the name of Ayn Rand. And I quote, it says, "There is no difference between communism and socialism except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide," end quote. And so when we have, you know, socialists coming and promoting ideas in this country, of which we have, not the least of which are the Bernie Sanders of the world or the OAC and others, they are pushing an agenda that, you know, unfortunately has 41% of Americans have a positive view of socialism. What they don't know is the ugly side of socialism, which morphs into communism and kind of completely takes over countries and cultures. And so that's something we need to be very concerned about. Now, the Chinese communists, as I've indicated, are hegemonic. They want global control. Marxists always want to be in the catbird seat. They want to be in control of the world. They will do whatever is necessary to get there. They'll use their military might, their economic might, and of course their ideological might, whether it be what they're doing to the Uyghurs or the Christians or those in Hong Kong by denying them civil liberties, by taking over all private property and the like. That's what they do, and they do it very well if good people don't push back and speak out. And that's, you know, the saving grace of, you know, the post-Cold War East Bloc countries. And I deal with that in my day job. And that is, you know, they begin to, as soon as the Berlin Wall fell, these people just clamored for, you know, the liberties of the West. And they clamored for the faith of the Christian West. And I know firsthand when I traveled to Ukraine at the end of the Cold War, and I met with military chaplains that didn't understand truly about Christianity and how that could impact the ethics of their armed forces and their societies. These are issues of some consequence, of which, quite frankly, we don't have time to go into in the detail. But Marxism is very real. It's very, you know, focused on taking over this country. And they have a cadre in this country, and some of which are Chinese, some of which are just leftists left over from, you know, the 60s and 70s that are infiltrating into the very core of our country.
Yeah, it's true.
Our today's special guest is Colonel Robert McGinnis, and I want you to be sure to get at least a copy of this book. I want you to read it. I want you to share it with your loved ones. And we have the Lori's Friends offer.
Right.
For just, you can get three of them for a gift of $55.
That's right. That's right. And that includes shipping and handling.
And this is when you're just not going crazy with an order. You just want three books, and you can put them in your car like Lori does and gives them out when she meets people. So we'll start with the Baker's Dozen.
Okay, yes, we have a Baker's Dozen, which is 13 of the books for a donation of $125. That includes shipping and handling. And as you mentioned, Ed, we have a special right now, which is 8 of the Baker's Dozen, which equates to 104 of the Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism books. And that's for our SOS. That's our Super SOS, Save Our Stations, for a $1,000 donation. That's a love gift to the ministry.
That's $1,000.
Yes.
Love gift. Now, you can get the books, or if you can't do all that and you feel like you just don't want to distribute that many books, you can just give the $1,000 and say, Jim, we want to save the ministry.
Amen.
We want to keep it going during this time. We fight every battle.
Yeah, we do.
And if we don't fight them, we'll be gone.
That's right.
And we're already, some of our friends, even Franklin Graham, the same group that tried to take us off the air has tried to take him from being the president of Billy Graham Association.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And even to his own Samaritan's Purse organization.
Right.
And they've got thousands of signatures to take Franklin Graham from the leadership of his ministry.
Yeah, but thank God Franklin Graham believes the word of God where it says, fight the good fight.
Yeah.
And
oh, he's
he is
fight.
Standing up no matter
he's
what.
Mm-hmm. But Amen. The church is going to have to stand up, people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the church has not been standing up. And we're going to come crashing down. And it's going to be one, can I say hell?
It's a Jim Baker show. You can say what you want.
No, I mean, it's going to be hellish. It's going to be hellish on earth.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be a hellish country to live in instead of a peaceful, wonderful, God-given country. Yes. And so I want everybody to order the books today. Mm-hmm. And we are appreciative of Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis being with us today.
Yes, he's
on the
an
show.
Expert, and mm-hmm. he understands and, it. He's an expert, and that's why the Jim Baker Show platform is so important to bring the prophetic, to bring the experts. Yes. We bring to you so many experts that, you know, I want to say you're spoiled, you know, you're listening, but you've got to not just listen and say, oh, that was a good show, but do something
That's
about
right,
it, whatever that is in your realm of influence.
Absolutely.
Everybody has a realm of influence. Maybe it's your children, maybe it's your grandchildren.
That's right.
But I know this, one thing that we have to educate ourselves in the day and age that we're living in.
Yes.
You can receive the three books for $55. That's Give Me Liberty, three-book offer. Includes shipping and handling. You can write us and make sure you make your check out. Make your checks payable to Jim Baker's show.
This is where we are right now. This is what America's got to hear, people. Yes.
And Dad, you understand this book right here, this is what I love. This is what Lieutenant says and many others about the Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism. It examines what current globalist leaders intends for America and the world, an outcome that may well usher in the prophetic end times. The evidence for this possible result comes from looking at the histories of past Marxist governments, as well as the current proposal by those leaders for a global great reset that could produce a radically different America, which would become subject to a godless, totalitarian one world government ruled by the Chinese Communist Party.
Wow.
And I mean, that right there, that sums it up. That says everything. We've been hearing it. We've been, the alarms have been sounding. We've been hearing these words. He's speaking to us and is sharing with us what is happening. It's not even behind the scenes anymore.
No.
This is happening
right
on the stage right before us. The stage is being set right
wow.
now.
Can I say something before? Because you're about to ask an important question. And for me, when I read pretty much this book, this is what it allowed me to really understand. Because in America, I think we're in shock. Can I say that? I think the American people, the church is in shock. And I had to write it down. The battlefield is different now for America. The warfare that we used to fight used to take place overseas. But when you recognize, this book allows you to recognize the new battlefield now is the church. It's school systems, social media platforms, ministries, the streets, or politics. That's the new battlefield that we're facing. And I think we're shocked to understand that it's now in our backyards. How is it that the battlefield is in our school? How is it that now we as parents now have to be at war for our kids?
Yes, absolutely.
Our kids are being sexualized every second of the day. Do you understand that when our kids go to school, they're in the hands of a school system for 8 hours a day? Do you know that a few days ago, and I'm going to find this story, a mom dressed up as a 16-year-old went into the school. Right now, this mom is being sued for millions of dollars, probably even prison time, wanting to find out what is it that they're teaching in their school. What is it that my daughter is learning? What is it that they're doing? And she just wanted to participate. She had to dress as a 16-year-old to go into the school to understand what was happening inside because her daughter was coming home with a different belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to understand that the battlefield in the school system is far larger, more influential. And if you want to really understand why they want to shut this show down and why they're coming after Franklin Graham, is because what they call influence. If they can take away the influence, the key leaders that are influencing the masses, they got you.
They want to destroy. And there's a book that was written several years ago about the slaughter that's coming to the pulpit.
Wow. Mm.
They're going to just mow them down. I don't want to get into that because that's very gooey and gory. But I don't like to go there. But I know what they plan. They're desperate. So desperate they want to defame the word of the living God. Mm. Colonel, I want to get back to the book, Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism. Colonel Robert McGinnis is a senior strategist at the Pentagon. And so he's in high leadership in our country, high advisors to our country. Colonel, how is Marxism infiltrated our educational system today? Now, when they want in kindergarten and first grade and second grade, they're already trying to influence the kids, and they're already about their sex gender, whether they should be a boy or a girl, and they're trying to make little kids start thinking, maybe you're not a girl, maybe you're a boy, or vice versa. And it's kids can't even make up their mind about what they're going to eat today, let alone what sex they're going to be. And how has Marxism infiltrated our educational system today?
Well, Pastor, it's by design. John Dewey, who, of course, was the father of modern progressivism, you know, brought over to this country in the mid-30s the leadership, the Marxists, the Jewish Marxists from Nazi Germany in the mid-30s, put them in teachers' colleges, universities, Hollywood, and so forth in this country, with the express purpose of taking over the institution of American education. We long began, you know, in prior to this, the history of this country, we had local schools, we were homeschooled, and the schools focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic, you know, the simple things that are absolutely essential for every American. But that's not what these Marxists began to teach. And, you know, I go through not only in Give Me Liberty, not Marxism, but the book that came before that, Progressive Evil, the history of American education and how the progressives have taken it over and radically transformed it. The things about Marxism that we're beginning to see, not only have they infiltrated what teachers think and how they present material, but they replace moral character training. They use psychological manipulation. They promote moral relativism in the classroom. They promote pornographic sex, basically, and, you know, under the guise of, you know, making people more aware. They go after self-esteem issues. There's a whole list of things. Now, they use it not only in role-playing, but they have in the textbooks that they promote, they've rewritten history, and they promote a socialist vision for not only America, but a socialist history of America, which is, you know, flat not true. It's interesting, if you look at, you know, what has really gone on in the academy, especially the university and the college scenes, if you go to a liberal arts school, a secular liberal arts school in this country, the primary reading materials, their textbooks, are all Marxist. You know, it's I list the list in Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism, and it is just hard to understand how in the world, you know, have we come to the point where mostly Marxist literature is what our liberal arts schools, our secular liberal arts schools, are reading as their textbooks. These things are hard to believe, but, you know, the American education system has been, you know, from the very top to the very bottom, taken over by design, beginning by John Dewey in the 30s, all the way up to the present time, and it's deeply seated in teachers, colleges, in textbooks, and of course in the whole, you know, teachers unions, which we've had problems here in the last year, which refuse to, you know, recognize on the COVID issue, you know, that it is a safe place and they should bring our kids back to school. So there are a host of things ongoing.
How are the Marxists keeping parents from influence the direction of their children's education?
Well, Marxists, you know, when I was in the Soviet Union, you know, I saw that the Marxists like to keep kids in school as long as they can. Why? They want to influence the children and keep them out of the influence of their parents. And so they continue to add on to the school day with extracurricular and so forth activities. They don't want parents involved at all. Why? You know, after all, teachers that have gone through teachers' colleges, curriculum designers, school administrators, and all the way up to the Federal Department of Education, certainly, they argue, they know better than do parents about how to educate the future generation. And so they use all the tools that I went through moments ago, psychological manipulation, using role playing about, you know, some fairly sensitive issues like birth and sex and crime and the like. And they try to make moral equivalency and then manipulate the thinking of our children. One of the advisors, one of the first progressive advisors to the president of the United States a long time ago, says that children are like clay in the hands of their teachers, and they can mold them in the way they want them to go. So if the teachers are Marxists in their beliefs, then they can manipulate those children to become much like them. They become social justice warriors, much like lady that spoke in Loudoun County to the school board recently said that this is reminiscent of what the Cultural Revolution was like in China back in the late 60s, whereas they use words, they change the definition of words, they take kids away from the influence of their families, their parents, they destroy the church and its influence, and they make the next generation into something that will support this radical agenda. And of course, that's what the Soviets did. That's what the Maoists did. And that's what part of those that are pushing this agenda in this country want to do to America as well.
And I want everybody to get the book. I just think America is gone the wrong direction. We've got to pull back.
Yeah.
And I believe we're going to have civil war at some point if we don't stand up now. Everybody's got to stand up. Stand up for your church. Stand up for Christ. Yes. Stand up for the freedom of religion, mm-hmm. all the freedoms of the Constitution. Let's believe in the Constitution again. It's been good for all these years. Let's stand on what God has influenced our nation to have.
Right.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And so I want you to get this book today. If you don't do anything else, get this book. Read it. Please. Read the book. When you get this book, please leave it out on your coffee table or wherever you read. You know, your easy chair or whatever, or your bedside. But just leave it there until you read it. I don't know how to be strong. I can't say bad words. I don't say bad words. But I can think of some. No, but I just think if we don't do it, we're going to be in trouble, people.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to wake people up.
Yes.
If you don't start finding out what's going on, give me liberty, not Marxism. This is Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, who is advisor, senior strategist at the Pentagon. He spent years, I call it ministry, but he's been involved with the government, involved with the news media as far as trying to get this message out.
Yes.
And he's well respected, and he's been a friend to our ministry as well, but there's just a few like him that are left. Mm-hmm. They don't want him around, I'll guarantee. And there's a lot of us do. So we who do need to thank him.
That's right.
But we can still do something about it. You know, you ask for hope. This is hope. Listen, I'm encouraged, even though it sounds discouraging. I am encouraged that we have this information to take back, to reignite the passion, to see a free America, to still have the church come together and really understand that if we are at warfare, what do we do? He gives us a plan to how do we fight back? How do we, stand against all this? And the hope we have is that the Bible says that as long as we have breath, we have hope.
The children must have a solid education.
That's right.
Our founding fathers used the Bible as a textbook.
Yes.
That's right. That's true.
We've got to have.
Your children have the Bible in your school.
Absolutely.
So what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
You got the most awesome kids I've ever seen. They quote scriptures, they quote them in different languages, and my Lord, it's just amazing. And we've got to have this freedom. Mondo was telling me, he was driving me in from my home to the studio, and he said, Jim, we need more Christian, you know, education.
Yes.
And I said, well, what about the education of all the kids in America? If we just build a few Christian schools, they're going to tear us down. That's what they're trying to do your school. Mm-hmm. They want to tear down the great schools anyway. But we've got to stand up for the public school as well.
Yes.
As they've got to have freedom.
That's
and
right.
We cannot have this doctrine of devils taught in our school.
You know,
right.
And you know, and it's teachers like the one that stood up against this ideology.
Yes.
Sometimes it takes one teacher to stand against all odds. But you know what?
I know there's good teachers out there, Mondo.
Amazing teacher. One of the reasons I can speak English is because a teacher, you know, Mr. Bañuelos, I can still remember his name. I didn't even go to that school, but he saw the need. And the reason I'm speaking English is because Mr. Bañuelos, there are good teachers out there.
Teachers changed my life. I could write a book about the teacher that changed my life. You know?
Absolutely.
And if it wasn't for a great teacher, I don't know what would have happened to me. But I had a great teacher who, I was a failure up until about eighth grade or something. I don't know what grade it was, seventh, sixth grade probably. But I became at the top of my class. But it was because there was teachers who poured into me. Just a couple of people, and Mr. William J. Harrison, one of the great, he was a teacher of, can you imagine, of all things, journalism. I'm a journalist major, and I love journalism, but today journalism is not what he taught me. Mm. The very first thing he taught us is truth, and boy, they don't give the truth anymore today.
Wow.
But let's go on here. So happy to have Robert McGinnis here with us, and I want you to get his book. I believe that today's broadcast, I carried him over for a second show because we've got to do something.
Yes, amen.
We've got to get this message out. And I know that there's going to be some people today that watched yesterday and watched today will say, Jim, I'm going to join with you. I'm going to give $1,000. And I'm going to help you maintain this for the kingdom of God. I believe that believe you're there. Yes. I believe they're out there today.
That's right.
Mondo, Marcella, Lori, don't you believe that?
Well, absolutely.
I believe that. And I believe, you know, if we had 1,000 people give $1,000 today, that would be $1 million. And that's how we do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
That's
Amen.
How we do it. One check at a time. I'm desperate. I'll probably, you know, I plan to die penniless, but I don't. Poor Lori, if I die before you, honey, I don't want to leave you penniless, but God will take care of you because he's always taking care of us. That's what we have to do. We live by faith and we live by him.
Right.
But I believe that God, you know, if I die without a penny in the bank, I'm going to be thrilled that I've made it this far. He's blessed me. He's taken care of me. I believe in him.
Amen.
Eternity is where we want everyone to go with
Amen.
Christ. That's our hope.
Yes.
That's how we can live.
That's right.
How we can have faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I want you to order the books today. I want you to send a check today. I want you to, and we have to use checks for a while again.
That's right.
And you're working on getting the credit cards back.
Absolutely. Every day, day and night. That's
you work
right.
all the time
yes.
on that, as with all your other jobs, plus raise your kids.
That's right.
And together we're going to see great miracles.
Amen. Praise God.
But I got so many questions for
Colonel Robert McGinnis today that are so important. And let's go on with a few more questions, all right? What role does Communist China play in our mainstream media and Hollywood?
Well, Pastor, you know, Communist China, of course, picked up where the Russians left off. During World War II, there were, as I mentioned in a previous question, Willy Munzenberg, who was a Marxist that came over from the Frankfurt School, infiltrated and joined up with an estimated 300 communists during World War II that were operating in Hollywood. And what they did is manipulate the message of the United States government to favor the communist Russians, and especially Stalin. Now, of course, at one point, you know, the Hollywood was trying to decide, before Franklin Roosevelt decided to help the Russians, was trying to decide whether or not it was going to be pro-Nazi or pro-communist. Well, when Roosevelt made the decision, you know, after what's called the, there was a campaign that the Russians attacked the Nazis in June of 1942, Barbarossa, I believe. And then Roosevelt said, well, we're going to help the Russians. And so in spite of criticism that Roosevelt received, well, at that point, those in Hollywood, the communists that were there, all of a sudden started to, you know, become anti-Nazi and pro-communist, and to, you know, promote everything they could to welcome the communist message in film and so forth. And of course, this was the same time in which we had in Washington a series of inquiries in Congress about whether or not we'd become too full of communists that were infiltrated into the into the FDR administration, et cetera, and so forth. Well, when the Soviet Union started to diminish, the Chinese communists came in into Hollywood. Today, of course, they own a large percentage of all the theaters across the United States. No director in Hollywood that really wants to make any money will dare criticize Communist China, because the market in China for films today of 1.4 billion people is far richer than the market in the United States. So they have an entire organization that's controlled by the Communist Chinese that controls the vetting of all movies before they are produced, and as a result, after they're produced. And they're, you know, a lot of films end up on the editor's floor because they were even subtly critical of the Communist Chinese. So Communist China, just like they've become, you know, manipulating the NBA, they manipulate Google, they manipulate much of the major movie production out of Hollywood just because the money speaks. And I have an entire chapter that shows in spades why the Hollywood, you know, producers, the Hollywood owners have really gone over to the dark side when it comes to Communist China. And so I would dare say we can't trust, you know, for a lot of good reasons, in not only what Hollywood is producing today, but it's been carried on ever since really the 30s, when Willy Munzenberg came over and started to infiltrate with other communists the messages of the Soviet Union, and it just morphed into what's Chinese communists today. So they won't criticize them for, you know, what they're doing through Belt and Road around the world. They won't criticize what they're doing against Christians and Muslims in the country, or even those in Hong Kong. They won't criticize anything that the Chinese do with regard to Taiwan and so forth. It's really tragic, and Americans ought to recognize how insidious this has become.
Wow.
How did Marxists take the American mainstream media captive. How did they do this?
Well, they infiltrated. You had people in that took over, and I don't remember the details. I've got them in the book. Yeah, that took over Time Magazine, took over some of the mainline press. Even New York Times had closet Marxists, communists in their ranks. And I go through the litany of all these people that infiltrated mostly in the 30s and then carried on in the 40s and 50s, some of which jeopardized national secrets. And we had trials and we called them out. But it really never went away, and it continues even today. If you were to do a survey, and we have, of mainline journalists, you would find that, primarily, of course, they're located in large concentrations on the East and the West Coast, but they're also ideologically almost, I'm talking high 90 percentile, progressive in their ideology, if not socialist in their ideology. And of course, if you look at the journalism schools, who funds the journalism schools? Go to Columbia. How much George Soros money is Columbia taking? It's quite a bit. Most journalism schools have abandoned what they originally intended to do, and that is to be objective in the reporting of the facts. No. They're now politically inspired, ideologically persuaded to report something other than just the facts. And then there are techniques that I call out in Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism, as to how they manipulate that message and how really, even when they have to report something, especially about Christians and conservatives, they do their best to camouflage the story as to portray us as something other than good. And so it's happened, it continues today, and unfortunately, unless we have alternative news programs and in commentary, we don't get the real truth to the American people.
That's right.
Do you believe Satan and his army of demons are co-conspirators fueling this new cultural revolution taking place in the United States right now?
There's absolutely no doubt that Satan and his demons are very much involved in what is going on, not only in the newsrooms, but in the education establishment, inside government. I told you, and I think past programs, Pastor, that my own mother was a personal advisor, the personal secretary to Jean Dixon, the lady that did the seances in the White House. And of course, you've got others that, with the likes of Hillary Clinton and doing things in the White House and so forth. Washington, D.C., the center of power of this country, is a very dark place. It's a dark place because Satan and his proxies have grasp power. They resonate, they gravitate to power, and power is in Washington. And so there's a lot of darkness there. And, this is where the Marxism comes to play. We saw Marxists just infiltrated into much of government during the late 30s, early 40s. And of course, everybody knows about the purges that we tried to take place. That's why they call them the McCarthyism era. Well, there was a lot of truth to it. There were, in fact, Marxists, not just in Hollywood, but in inside government.
It seems like America has been fighting for freedom, fighting communism.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine our country is opening their doors to communism? Our leaders want communism. People want, and communists, there's no successful communists around the world that I can see. It's horrible what communism does. And yet people have been lied to, and our nation is turned away from God.
Mm.
So what are some of the nonviolent strategies that Marxists use to like take over our country and take over other democratic countries?
Well, there are a host of methodologies, and I think the one that most people think about, of course, is critical race theory, but there's the Frankfurt School ideology, there's liberation theology, critical theory, Maoism, and a host of others. These are just methods that Marxists use. Critical race theory, of course, is the one that has the most attention in the United States today. It argues that, of course, critical race theory is Marxist, and it traces itself back to Marxism because Marx, in his ideology, called for a classless world. He saw that capitalism was the real boogeyman of the world because it allowed the proletariat, the working class, to struggle, and that there was the bourgeoisie, who basically owned all the production means of production of wealth and all and so forth. And so Marx said there must be a revolution to flatten the classes. There must be no classes. There must be no private property. There must be no religion. And economics is going to dictate, government, the economy, the liberal or the legal organizations, and so forth. Now, having said that, basically what I call the hippies of the 1960s and 70s, who wanted to promote Marxism in this country, they ended up in academia, and when they ended up in academia, they wanted to follow Marx's template of dividing the classes, because that's how you get revolution going. You cause division. Well, they came to the conclusion, because of the uniqueness of America, that you could not have a class struggle, that they had to find some other mechanism. And that other mechanism was race. And so in the 1990s, you began to see in academia in the United States, thanks to the hippies that became the provosts and the professors of political science in this country, they started to promote the ideas of a division based on race, and therefore arose critical race theory. And then, of course, you had, years later, the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization rise. And so when you have these organizations that are promoting methods to divide us, like critical race theory, which says that if you're white, you're an oppressor, and if you're a non-white, you're the oppressed. And so they try to cause that division. It's interesting that the so-called scholar of critical race theory is a gentleman by the name of Ibram Kendi, who is a University of Boston professor, and he runs an institute on racism. And he argues in his latest book that, really what we need and what the synergy of critical race theory is the distinction between equity and equality. Now, of course, we know in the 14th and 15th Amendment and in the Declaration of Independence, our forefathers called for equality, and that is everybody has an equal opportunity to prosper in America. But what equity stands for, and what Kendi and his disciples promote, even within the Biden administration and even Vice President Harris, is the idea that, well, because some people don't have much, we're going to give them everything that the people that are in the front of I suppose the wealth establishment, we're going to just equalize everything. And in other words, socialism. Everybody's going to have the same thing, the same amount. You perhaps have seen the illustration maybe in a social media, whereas equality would be pictured three people that are looking over a fence at a baseball game. Well, one person happens to be very tall, and that person can see the ball game you know, very easily. The second person just can peer over the fence to see the ball game, whereas the third person is very short. And even though they're standing on the same type of box as the foundation, they can't see the ball game at all. Now, that's equality. Now, equity basically will cause the tall person that could see the game before, you know, they'll cut his legs off so that he can't see the game. They'll give the middle person twice as much of a leg room or a foundation of wealth so that he can see still, but not much. But the person who couldn't see anything before, they're going to get all the wealth and all the boxes they need to see over the fence. And so the idea being is Ibram Kendi and the scholars of CRT argue is that, you know, we have to remove all barriers so that there are no differences amongst people whatsoever. It's not equality, it's equity, because some people start far back and some people start up front. And you know, he uses the illustration in his book that in America, and this was, I think, in 2014, white people owned 70% of white people owned a house. 40% of Hispanic people owned a house. 20% of black people owned a house. What Kendi argues is that home ownership should not depend upon, you know, your background. Home ownership means that everybody has the same house or owns a house. You know, if you're 20% of white people own a house, then it must be 20% of Hispanic people own a house and 20% of African Americans own a house. If it's 30%, the same. No matter what your investment, no matter what capitalism says, no matter what it says in Matthew 25 about the talents, it doesn't matter. And that's what socialism is about. And that's how socialism, like the camel getting its nose under the tent, gets started. It's an idea that takes from the wealthy in society and gives to those that aren't quite as wealthy so that they're all at equal level. And I don't think it's biblical, but, you know, that's what the CRT and that's what the world of Kendi and others in the Biden administration have bought into.
Our time's almost gone. I got one more question, Dr. McGinnis. What are the parallels between the Marxist-inspired global Great Reset and the biblical end times markers? You understand what I'm saying?
I do, Pastor. You know, the one thing that we're missing here is the role of Israel. If I'm watching like everyone else as to what, you know, is happening in Israel, especially with regard to the new government, especially with regard to the Biden administration's promotion of a new deal with Iran and the consequence of that for a nuclear weapon. So, you know, that's a wild card that isn't quite mature yet, but I see it going in the wrong direction. One world government, of course, I think is very clear at the end times. The rise of the Antichrist, I think that we're beginning to see the possibility of a global hegemon. I think you can make the argument, as I do, and give me liberty, not Marxism, President Xi of China, of Beijing, seeks to be that global hegemon in the next 30 years. I do believe that in Matthew 24, we see evidence of, you know, the types of, you know, chaotic things that are on our horizon that are beginning to, you know, really reflect what we not only see from what Christ has told us to expect and all the indicators, but also, you know, the four horsemen, the issues that are so evident to us in terms of what Revelation promises the future end times will be like. So, I'm concerned that Communist China is showing evidence of all that whether it's through its biowarfare or its cyber attacks or its outer space efforts with its new space stations and the manipulation of currencies, the cyber monitoring of all citizens. All of these can paint a very dark picture. And of course, the role of Satan and his demons all wrapped in this entire effort could suggest that we're moving in that direction. You know, two things came to mind as you were speaking moments ago, and that is in our own country, we're beginning to see a move to socialism in terms of big government is trying to keep people from going back to work. And that is, you know, fueling inflation. The $6 to $10 trillion they're spending is beginning to impact our economy in very bad ways. Housing is hard to find. Large corporations that are aligned with government are buying up entire communities of houses and renting it. And when I was in the Soviet Union, I saw, you know, that no one owned their house. It was a government house. We may be going in that direction. We may be going with a direction that people work for the government, wait for the government to tell them when they can go shopping. They take charge of our children. All of these things we've seen historically in communist countries, and we're beginning to see that historically in a very contemporary way in the United States. So I'm quite concerned about our direction.
Wow.
I want to thank you for being with us today. Our time is completely gone, and we love having you. I want everybody to order your book today. Give Me Liberty, Not Marxism, a very, very special book that everybody needs to prepare and have for your children, for your grandchildren, for your pastor, and for all the people that you know and love.
Yes.
I want to thank our special guest, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, for being with us today. We have to go for today, but please call me right now and help us with this Super Save Our Station gift offer of $1,000. This will give us a miracle if 1,000 people would do this today. Call me at 1-888-988-1588, or you can go to our website at thejimbakershow.com, or you can write us at Post Office Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. God loves you. He really does.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.